السلام عليكم ورحمة الله وبركاته نحمده ونصلي على رسوله الكريم أما بعد رب اشرح لي صدري ويسر لي أمري واحلل عقدة من لساني يفقه قولي ألم نشرح لك صدرك ووضعنا عنك وزرك الذي أنقض ظهرك ورفعنا لك ذكرك فإن مع العسر يسرا إن مع العسر يسرا فإذا فرغت فانصب وإلى ربك فارغب قال الله تعالى في الفرقان الحميد وإن كان ذو عسرة فنظرة إلى ميسرة وأن تصدقوا خير لكم إن كنتم تعلمون صدق الله العظيم اللهم صل وسلم على سيدنا محمد وآله My noble audience, Alhamdulillah, by the grace of Allah Almighty, for the last few weeks we have been spending time on trying to understand the profound meaning of one statement of Nabi Akram Muhammad sallallahu alaihi wasallam. This one hadith has been recorded by Imam Muslim, and basically in this one statement there are many different nasihats that Nabi Akram Muhammad sallallahu alaihi wasallam has given. By the grace of Allah Almighty, we have discussed the first advice, the first hukam that the Nabi of Allah has given in the last few weeks. The second hukam, injunction that the Nabi of Allah has made mention of, was discussed at a very subtle level last week, and inshallah today, by the grace of Allah Almighty, we will try to further open up the gems that are hidden in this statement. Nabi Akram Muhammad sallallahu alaihi wasallam says, "Wa man yassara ala mu'sirin yassara Allahu alayhi fid dunya wal akhirah." So this is the second advice in this hadith. "Wa man yassara ala mu'sirin yassara Allahu alayhi fid dunya wal akhirah." That person that shows or displays softness, compassion to the debtor, Allah Almighty will show softness to this person and grant him ease in this dunya and in the hereafter. And in support of this hadith, we made mention of a ayat from the glorious Quran, and I believe that we have given the reference so many times that you would remember it by now. It was from Surah Al-Baqarah, verse 280. And that is the verse that I recited in the start of my talk. وَإِنْ كَانَ ذُو عُسْرَةٍ فَنَظِرَةٌ إِلَى مَيْسَرَةٌ. And basically the translation is that if the debtor is in hard times, he cannot manage the funds, he cannot arrange for the funds, he is in hard times, فَنَظِرَةٌ إِلَى مَيْسَرَةٌ, then the creditor should give him time, so it is easy for him to repay. وَأَنْتَ صَدَّقُوا خَيْرٌ لَكُمْ. But if a person remits it, forgives the person by way of charity, خَيْرٌ لَكُمْ, this is much, much better. إِن كُنْتُمْ تَعْلَمُونَ, but if you did but know. If a person knew the reward attached to remitting the debt by way of charity, he would do that. But basically a person cannot see the complete reward of charity in this dunya. He reads about it, he listens to it, but he cannot really fathom and comprehend the complete reward. This is something that Allah Almighty has designed, designated for those people that give charity. أَنْتَ صَدَّقُوا خَيْرٌ لَكُمْ إِن كُنْتُمْ تَعْلَمُونَ. Now, I would like to make mention of the hadith of Sahih al-Bukhari that will give us a further insight to this topic, the relationship between the creditor and the debtor. The relationship between the creditor and the debtor. Nabi Akram Muhammad sallam says that on the day of judgment, there will be a person. Now before we start the hadith, I would like to address the concept pertaining to this hadith. Many a times when people read a hadith, they get confused with certain elements. And one of the elements that has been discussed here is that the Nabi of Allah sallallahu alaihi wasallam is saying that on the day of judgment, a person will be presented in front of Allah and such will unfold. The person says that the day of judgment has not arrived yet. The Day of Judgment has not arrived yet. So how does the Nabi of Allah speak about this? So we have to understand that basically everything that is to occur in the present moment or in the future is to occur in the bubble of time. And Allah is the designer, the creator of time. So Allah is not restricted and confined to time. So if Allah wants somebody to see what is to happen in the future, Allah, who is sitting above time, will remove the veil. He will remove the veil and a person can see into the future. For example, the arrival of Dajjal has not occurred. Gog Magog has not arrived. Hazrat Isa alayhi salatu wasalam has not descended. All the minor and major, or let me say, all the major signs have not occurred yet. But when Nabi Akareem Muhammad sallallahu alayhi wasallam spoke about them 1400 years ago, more or less, it was like he was seeing the signs and speaking to the Sahaba. It was so profound and detailed. It was so accurate, detailed and profound. So basically Allah Almighty, for Nabi Akareem Muhammad sallallahu alayhi wasallam, removed the veil. So he could see. So when Nabi Akareem Muhammad sallallahu alayhi wasallam makes a statement of this kind, we should keep in mind that Allah removed the veil for the Nabi of Allah sallallahu alayhi wasallam to see in detail. So Nabi Akareem Muhammad sallallahu alayhi wasallam says that there will be a person on the Day of Judgment. He will be summoned by Allah Almighty, and Allah Almighty will say to this to the Malaika that will bring him into the court of Allah, that what does this person have? So they will look at his book of deeds. No salah, no zakah, no piety, no righteousness, no taqwa. So basically all the golden chips that will enable a person to move forward and cross the line, this person will be deprived of. He doesn't have the golden chips. He doesn't have the salah, he doesn't have the zakah, he doesn't have anything. So Allah Almighty once again will address the malaika and say that, look, does he have anything? Alright, he doesn't have the golden chips, but does he have anything? So the malaika will say, yes, there is one thing that he does have. What is that? That he was a tajir, he was a tradesperson. He was a tajir, a tradesperson. So it was his sunnah, it was his practice throughout his entire life, that whenever he used to give, he used to tell his servant that, look, when you go to collect, see if the person is poor or rich. If the person is poor, forgive him. وَأَن تَصَدَّقُوا خَيْرٌ لَكُمْ وَأَن تَصَدَّقُوا خَيْرٌ لَكُمْ. If he is poor, forgive him. If he is rich, prosperous, then give him time. And this was his behavior, and this was his choice throughout his entire life. And the reason why he did that is that if I forgive the poor people, then Allah will forgive me on the Day of Judgment. So this debtor is in the state of destitution. I most certainly will be in the state of destitution on the Day of Judgment. So if I treat a destitute person with compassion in this dunya, I expect that my Creator will treat me with compassion, because I will be in dire need on the Day of Judgment. So Allah Almighty will say to the Malaika that I have forgiven this person. I have forgiven this person. Now I just made mention, because this is the hadith of Bukhari, I made mention that this person didn't have salah, zakat or any golden chip. But this is not the qanoon of Allah. This is not the qanoon of Allah. Many a times people study a hadith superficially. They study the hadith by translation and they derive a understanding that suits them. And then they fall into this state of complacency. So keep in mind, this is not the qanoon of Allah. The qanoon, the law of Allah, is that a person needs to have certain chips. إن الذين آمنوا وعملوا الصالحات أولئك هم خير البرية إن الذين آمنوا وعملوا الصالحات كانت لهم جنات الفردوس نزلا. So most of the time throughout the Quran, when Allah speaks about the reward, Allah speaks about two things previously. One is iman and good deeds. So this is not the qanun of Allah, that one person says that, alright, this is what I'm going to do. I'm going to be the creditor and I'm going to mimic the behavior of this person that basically will be forgiven on the day of judgment, and I will disregard the golden chips, salah and zakat. It's not going to work like that. Mawlana Shaykh Ali Thanwi rahimahullah gives a beautiful example, a true story, and then he relates it to this question that may arise in the mind that basically we are trying to address. The governor of Hyderabad Dakkan one day was invited by his wazir, one of the ministers. So the minister invited the governor to his house. He said, I would like to invite you for supper. So the governor arrived. There was a child, the child of the wazir, the minister. He was running around, maybe 8-9 years old, not too young, not too old. So the governor pinched him from the back. Now the child did not recognize who this person is. So he turned around and he swore at him. He swore at the governor. So the minister, he was observing, and he knew that the governor is a very angry person. And basically, if he says something, that is final and concrete. There's no change to that statement that the governor makes. So when he turned around, the child, and he swore at the governor, the father was watching. Immediately the father, he interjected. And he said, Your Highness, if you want to, I will punish my child. I will take care of him. So the governor, he smiled and he said, No. Your child is very brave. Your child is very, very brave. Most of the time if I pinch a child and he turns around and he sees me, he drops down to the ground. But your child is very, very brave. He has the courage. Most probably he will be an asset for us in the future. So forget about punishing him. I'm going to give him an allowance. So you give him the best education, the best upbringing, the best tarbiyah. And then later on, bring him to my court. Now, this is a story, a true story. So Mawlana Shaykh Ali Thanwi rahimahullah says, keeping this story in mind, do you think that anyone who invites the governor to his house, he should give advice to the child that whenever the king pinches you, you swear at him? Oh. There is a probability that the governor may be angry. Forget about our allowance, he may punish the child and the father. So the qanun is, the law is, you can't swear at the governor. You can't disrespect him. Yes, this child got away with it, whatever the case may be, but this is not the qanun of Allah. The qanun of Allah is, you can't swear at the governor. Likewise, the qanun is, from Allah Almighty, iman has to be supported with good deeds. And that's why Allah says, أُولَٰئِكَ هُمْ خَيْرُ الْبَرِيَّةِ. They are the best of animals. The best of creation are those that have iman and amal salih. And then Allah Almighty in Surah Bayyinah says that those that don't have iman, don't have good deeds, sharrul bariyah. They are the worst of animals. The worst of creation. So keep in mind, this is not the law of Allah, but in this one statement of Nabi Akareem Muhammad Sallallahu Alaihi Wasallam, we get an understanding of the importance of being lenient when you are in the position, when you are the creditor. When you are the creditor, to be lenient. There's a hadith in Bukhari. An extract of it is, Inna khiyarakum ahsanukum qada. Inna khiyarakum ahsanukum qada. The best of people are those people that are very good when it comes to delivering the right, the haqq. So basically, every person needs to discharge rights. As an imam, I need to deliver the rights of my muqtadis. As a husband, I need to deliver the rights of my wife. As a father, I need to deliver the rights as a father. So, as a business person, I need to deliver the rights as a tajir. So, a person is placed in different domains, and he has different roles. And basically, in the light of those roles, he has to discharge the duty to perfection, to the best of his ability. So when a person is a creditor, basically his role is to be lenient. Not a pushover. Not a pushover. Or you'll fall into the line of the destitute. Not a pushover. You don't want people to mock you and play you around and push you over, but lenient. So there's a thin line there that the debtor, the recipient of your wealth, he knows that yes, this person is soft, he may give me 1 or 2 months, but if you know that the debtor is playing you around, and this has been his behavior in the past, then do not allow him to do that, because he may do it with you today, and he may do it with somebody tomorrow. Does it make sense? And the debtor, his role is that he discharge his duty, that he has been entrusted with this. There's been a mu'amala between them. He has been entrusted. He has promised to repay. So make maximum effort to arrange for the funds and to return it. So it doesn't put this person off. Many a times people head by the wealth, but they say, I'm not going to give. Why are you not going to give? Because I've had a bad experience. So basically, the bad experience has stopped him from committing to good deed. And who is to be blamed? That debtor that played him around, that pushed him over. Does it make sense? So we need to be very, very mindful. And that's why Imam Abu Hanifa, Nu'man bin Thabit, one of the greatest Muslim jurists that Islam has produced, he used to say to his servants, because he was a tradesperson, he was very, very wealthy, that when you go, be very, very lenient. When you go to collect the payments, be very, very lenient. And not only lenient physically, but even verbally. Even verbally. And then he used to say something amazing. And this is what I want to resonate with my congregation today. This last bit, I want it to resonate with each person. He said, basically, you have given a loan to somebody. This person has come your way to improve your bank balance. Allah has sent this person in need to your door so your bank balance can improve. Think about it, if there's no poor person and you have wealth, and everyone has wealth, what would we do? One of the signs of Qiyamah is there's going to be so much wealth that a person will go out to find a poor person, a destitute person, and he can't find a person. This is going to be a headache. It's going to be problematic. Because Allah has sent us with the chip of helping people. That's why they say insan, human beings, is from the word uns, and uns means mahabba. So we are sent with the innate chip, the inborn chip, that we don't like the suffering of other people. We like to help. So basically Allah sent this one person that is destitute to your door. So if somebody gives you the opportunity to improve your bank balance, the spiritual bank balance, how should we treat that person? So he is our muhsin. We are not his muhsin. He is our benefactor, the debtor, not the creditor. The creditor is a muhsin in this dunya. But the debtor is our muhsin in terms of akhirah. And the gain of dunya is very, very little compared to the gain of akhirah. So we should keep that in mind. And one more thing Imam Abu Hanifa used to say, in the light of Quran and Hadith. And this is something that we should try to study in detail and try to observe. Because the community, we are a part of the community. Each person makes the community. We should save the destitute person from coming to our door. I want to say that again, and I'm going to shed light upon this. We should save the destitute person from coming to our door. Think about it. One person spreading his hand in front of another and saying, I'm in need. It takes a lot of guts. When there were riots in India, one person told me that there used to be a lot of people that they used to be in camps. And most of them at supper and lunch, they used to come with their vessels, and they used to place their vessel in front of the person that was giving out the food. But there was a certain family that did not move. 1 day passed, 2 days passed, 3 days passed. So the husband, the wife, the children, they are dying out of starvation, but they can't come to the line. So the organizers, they investigated and they found that he was the wealthiest person in the village. He doesn't have that courage to stand up and ask and beg. To beg is to really trample over your ego. So if there are people in our community that are in need, don't wait for them to knock on your door. You go to them and say, look, I have a hadiah. You don't have to say it's zakat. You don't have to say it's lillah. Just say this is a hadiah from your brother. You are saving him from that moment of shame and disgrace. And basically you are doing the best when it comes to giving charity. وَأَنْتَ صَدَّقُوا خَيْرٌ لَكُمْ. And remitted by way of charity is better for you. So there's a deep definition of remitting something by way of charity. Do not allow somebody to come to you. Be very alert and vigilant when it comes to your community. Most of the time, we know who is in need. A person in a very subtle manner, indirect manner, he will reveal his status, his financial status. Now we are waiting for him to ring me or knock on the door. Yes, there are certain incidents that cannot be known. Allah forgive us for that. But certain things that are apparent, we should go out of our way, because basically that person is one of the windows that will allow us to attain a mighty door on the other side. One of the windows that may allow us to enter through a mighty, mighty, massive door on the Day of Judgment. Allah Rabbul Izzah give us tawfiq to understand the profound words of Nabi Akram Muhammad Sallallahu Alaihi Wasallam. Allah allow our community to grow from strength to strength, and Allah Rabbul Izzat use us for the work of Deen. Subhanakallahumma wa bihamdika ashhadu an la ilaha illa ant astaghfiruka wa atubu ilayk.